One of the very few recordings ever made by a group known as Boko. The group, formed in 1975 in Ghana by Englishman John Collins, had to put up a very hard struggle for existence, a struggle which ended 5 years ago. Now, although the group had to fold up, the experience helped John to establish his interest in Ghanaian and African music, and John, in fact, is our guest on the program tonight. John first went to Ghana as a young lad in 1952 to visit his father. And since 1969, when he entered the University of Ghana, he has been living in the country, playing with local musicians and studying traditional and pop music. Well, after giving up the attempt to run his own group, John Collins turned his energies to other aspects of music, setting up a recording studio and writing about music. In recent years, he has appeared on television and radio in Europe, and it was on one of his visits to fulfill engagements on Dutch domestic radio that he talked to me about African music and about his book, African Pop Roots.
The book actually fills a vacuum. I mean, there's a lot of interest in African pop music in the West, and of course in Africa, there always has been. But nobody's ever written about it. The university people were more interested in traditional African music, and they thought that things like high-life juju music weren't worth studying. Whereas I've been sort of studying this music for years. It's not, in fact, the first book I've written. I've written two books on High Life and the Concert Party, which are with State Publishing in Ghana for 11 and 12 years, respectively. So it actually goes back a long way. But I've been forced now to bring out a book in the West because I can't get it published in Ghana itself, which is actually a tragedy as far as I'm concerned. But there's a vacuum. Everybody's interested in African music. Everybody's interviewing African musicians, but nobody knows anything about the history. And I've been able, through being a musician and a lot of luck and so on, to be able to piece together the sort of history of high life and juju music, Zairean music and so on, back to about the 1880s. I did it, of course, by interviewing musicians. There were no articles or anything for me to work on. Everything is primary research, not secondary research. So I'm sort of filling this vacuum that exists.
Now, you're covering the whole of Black Africa, that is Africa south of the Sahara. Which are the main types of music that your book covers?
I attempt to cover the whole of Africa, partly because of staying in Ghana or West Africa, I've met many musicologists who work in South and East Africa and give me information, although I've never been there. Basically, it concentrates on West African music, which is the earliest fusion music being high life, the various forms of high life, goes through the evolution of high life music into its various forms like Afrobeat, juju music, and so on. I also touch on the French-speaking African countries and the development of Congo jazz from the rumba in the 1940s, which of course is much later than the emergence of high life music. I also do something a bit on South African music because, in fact, the record industry in Africa started in South Africa in 1907.
Now, you were talking about South African music. What other types of music are covered by your book?
As I said, it really starts with the emergence of high life music because this was the earliest fusion music, black and white fusion music, to develop in Africa, and it grew up roughly about the same time as jazz was developing in the southern states of America. And in fact, there was a ragtime and rumba influence on early highlife. Highlife itself sort of became transformed over the ages into the dance band variety of the 1950s, such as E.T. Mensa and so on. Then I deal with the growth of juju music in the late 1930s in Nigeria, which came about as a sort of a fusion of Yoruba music with Konkomba High Life from Ghana. And I think the man who developed it first was called Tunde Nightingale. And he coined the name juju music, not because it was fetish or traditional music, but because it was his sort of inspired music. He just wanted to give it a heavy indigenous name. In fact, he was a banjo and a mandolin player. He didn't play traditional drums at all.
I understand that there's a lot of Yoruba philosophy in juju music.
Yes, it's mostly, in fact, philosophical and praise music. In fact, that has been retained. This is one of the Yoruba features of juju music, that it is mostly philosophical and praise music. But the Yoruba talking drums, which feature in present-day juju bands, weren't introduced into juju music until the 1950s by Ike Dairo. he was a sort of an innovator in the sense that he took the juju music of the 40s, which was played on, you know, it's a basically guitar band music, but in that time it was using a drum called the samba drum, which was a sort of a rectangular tambourine. And to indigenize the music more thoroughly, make it more Yoruba, he replaced the samba drum with the Yoruba talking drum, the squeeze drum, which people, you know, many people today, in fact, think that juju music came out of Yoruba talking drum music, but it's the other way around. The Yoruba drum was introduced later, not earlier.
The squeeze drum is the drum held under the arm, and it makes some very interesting tonal sounds.
Yes, it's the traditional talking drum, which you can literally talk with. And if you hear a modern band like Sunny Ade, you will hear the talking drum.
Yeah, you talk a lot about fusion music. What exactly do you mean by fusion music?
I mean the equivalent in Africa to jazz in North America or calypso in the Caribbean. It's a synthesis or a fusion of black and white music, African music. In the case of Africa, of course, it's African itself. The music is a mixture of African and European music that developed on the coast during the colonial times.
What aspects of European music were fused with African music then?
Well, particularly the instruments, such as the guitar, the brass band instruments, dance band instruments, also certain types of vocal harmony, such as four-part church harmony, which was introduced by the missionaries and then was adapted to the African songs.
Well, the next point will be that very interesting spot on the African continent, Zaire, used to be called the Congo, the Belgian Congo, from where a lot of African popular music emanates.
Yeah, what happened there is that in the French-speaking countries like Zaire, the development of fusion music was much, much later than in the English-speaking countries like South Africa, Nigeria and Ghana, Sierra Leone. The reason for this is probably to do with the different colonial policies. The British had what they call indirect rule, which was more flexible vis-a-vis traditional systems, and allowed the growth of sort of what they call syncretic phenomena, you know, mixtures of black and white. Whereas in the French-speaking French colonies, they were very, very strict about keeping separate the French culture from the indigenous culture.
Of course, Zaire wasn't a French colony, but it had a lot of French influence.
Yes, and I should also add Belgian as well, French-speaking. But the policy there was to keep the Belgium or the French culture separate from the African culture, and therefore you got the development of indigenous music on the one hand, which musicologists would study, and then sort of French popular music, classical music on the other. But never the two should meet. But of course they did in the end fuse, but that didn't occur until really the late 30s, early 40s, when you got the same sort of development as in West Africa, English-speaking West Africa, a combination of black and white music. At first it was played on acoustic guitars plus local percussion instruments, by people like Jean Bosco. Then in the 50s and 60s, the music became electrified, and then the front line of horns was added, and the Congo music then became called Congo Jazz. And that's the sort of music we hear today, people like Rochereau and OK Jazz.
John Collins, author of the book African Pop Roots. And in the background, an example of what he calls fusion music. This is where we end AfroScene this week. We'll be back with you at the same time next week. Until then, this is John Hammond saying goodnight from Hilversum, Holland. I'm going to go to the hospital.
makae janite makayo kenanga ye ikamwe to ni mwasebo.